Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers. Today's conversation with Dr. Marilyn Gaston, Director, Bureau of Primary Health Care, Health Resources and Services Administration at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Service. Joining us in our conversation is Fred Fagerson, another PwC partner.
We know that the Bureau of Primary Health Care initiated the movement toward 100% access and zero health disparities in 1998. Can you describe this movement and its goals and its activities?
We are very committed and dedicated to these goals. You know, people say these are really some outlandish goals. 100%, how can you ever reach 100% of anything? 100% access to care, is that possible in this nation? And to eliminate all these health disparities that we have between our poor and non-poor, between our minorities, non-minorities, et cetera. Here we are. We are working every day very hard to try to reach as many underserved people in the nation. Okay, so if you want some results that are measurable, you want some goals, you know, how close are we to doing it? And what's acceptable? Do we want to reach 80% of the people? Do we want to reach 90%? No. We want everybody in this nation to have quality primary health care. That's what we want. I'm sure all of you would agree. So we just put a number. We want 100% of our Americans to be in quality health care. So that's where the 100%. Now, we also realize that, you know, we used to have goals that said we want to reduce the health care disparities. When we're talking about, that, for instance, let me just give you a good example of health disparities, that the Latino community and the African American community are twice, maybe two to three times more likely to have diabetes and to die from it and have complications. We don't believe that that's just because they're Latino, African American, or what. We know there are a whole lot of factors that we have some control over, and we shouldn't have these disparities in our nation. So that we used to say, well, we're going to reduce that disparity. Well, how far? You're going to reduce it in half? Is that acceptable? No. You want to eliminate that disparity. You want to eliminate all the disparities in life expectancy. You want to eliminate, we want everybody in our nation to have optimal health. So that's where those goals came from. We also realized that the reason we started a movement is because we can't just have, these should be goals for our nation, not just for the Bureau of Primary Health Care, not just for the Department of Health and Human Services, that we as Americans need to strive for this. And no one group can do it. We can't do it by ourselves in the government. You know, what we're doing with, you know, the budget we have is over $2 billion. We're only reaching one-fifth of the need that's out there. So we knew we had to engage as many partners as we could at the state level, at the local level, both public and private. We knew we had to build strong public-private partnerships. That's what this movement is about. We knew we had to mobilize. I said a little earlier that communities have solutions in them, and once they get moving on it, they can really put them into place and make some headway, so that communities need to get mobilized around this and get outraged with their own healthcare outcomes that need to be changed. What's been exciting for me is, you know, you always have a group of partners you're working with, and we're most comfortable with our healthcare partners, okay? But we have reached out to all kinds of different partners. United Way is one we haven't worked with before. We have business partners now. We have a number of faith-based partnerships because we know that frequently the message from the minister in the pulpit about health is a lot more powerful than what it would be from any of us as physicians or healthcare providers. We see this movement sweeping the nation, and we're just very pleased with it.
The partnerships are key. Tell us about the challenges of creating these partnerships.
One of the things we've learned, especially from working right on the front line in communities, that it's frequently very difficult. As you said, a lot of challenges. There are turf issues, there's competition going on, especially in this healthcare environment. But once people get motivated around a goal, that once you raise it above the turf, the organizational, the historical attitudinal issues, and raise it to the goal of we want everybody in our community to have 100% access, or we want to eliminate our disparity in infant mortality rate. And everybody now is moving in that direction. The competition is with the goal and not with each other. And that is one of the successful strategies that we are beginning to even learn how to go into a community and help them sit around a table and begin to do that together.
What results have you seen through the movement so far?
Like I said, we're learning a lot more about the partnerships and how to help communities move forward along this. We're learning the results are there are some communities that have eliminated a disparity, depending on which one they choose. There's a community that we talk about frequently, Contra Costa County in California. A whole county came together and decided that they were going to eliminate the disparity in their African-American women and their Latina women in terms of early diagnosis of breast cancer. You know, the outcome and the survival. Of course, the earlier you get diagnosed, the better the outcome is going to be. Well, if you have poor women, you have uninsured women, you have minority women, their educational levels that vary, they are getting diagnosed late, and that's why their outcomes are as poor as they are. They decided they were going to eliminate it. After 5 years, they pulled everybody in that county together. As I said, the churches, the businesses, the schools, everybody. They have eliminated it. The Latino women, African-American women now, their rates of early diagnosis are the same as the white women in that community, same as the middle-class women in that community, same as the Asian-American women, who really, the Asian-American women had the best rates in terms of early diagnosis. So we have seen that. We have seen community health centers eliminate disparities as it relates to infant mortality outcomes. So we know that it can be done. You know, 5 years ago, when we really set these goals, there was a little, you know, when people start questioning us, can we really do this? You know, that, you know, this is not going to be successful. People are going to get discouraged. We would wonder, well, you know, is this possible? But we kept using it for the reasons I said before. Anything else is not acceptable. But I'm telling you, we see these outcomes being achieved in communities. We have communities where 90% of the people are all in care. Now, they don't have insurance. They still don't have insurance, but they're in care, okay? And I think that's what we need to hear, too. When we put health centers out, by law, they are mandated to see uninsured patients. One of the reasons they can do that is they get money from us, but also we work very closely with Medicaid. And the combination of getting adequate Medicaid rates to pay for certain patients, and then if the grant is paying for the uninsured patients, we're doing outreach to help people get into care and providing culturally competent care. We really can reach almost everybody in that community.
You mentioned working with institutions of faith. The president has a faith-based initiative, and you have a small version of it. I wonder if you could tell us about some of those experiences.
Yes, those are very good. I'm glad you mentioned the president, because one of the things that we're really excited about is one of his major initiatives, too, that you haven't heard a lot about, is that he is significantly increasing the growth of health centers over the next 5 years. It's in his budget plans. He wants to expand health centers by adding at least 1,200 new and expanded health centers over the next 5 years, increasing by 6,000 more people into care. So that's exciting. We also think that his initiative to focus on the faith community is really important, that we have to do that. We agree with that, and we have done it in health centers. One of the reasons, again, that, as I mentioned earlier, is that churches are after the same thing, that the faith community and the health community, we have the same goals. We have the same mission. We're frequently in the same community. We're working with the same people. The fact that we haven't partnered more in the past is surprising to me. We know, for all of us, let me just say for all of us, not just the people we're trying to target, but to really live in health and wellness, we all have to live a holistic life. We have to focus on our physical health, our emotional health, but also on our spiritual health. And so there are more and more data to show the impact of spirituality on health. So that our health centers, many of them, have partnered with the faith community to such a degree that they have prayer rooms in them. They have ministers on the staff. Now, we're talking about primary care. You know, hospitals have always done that. They've had that. But we're talking about not for people that are dying, but for people that are well, that we're trying to keep well by using that kind of approach from the faith community. Also, churches, some of the churches, once they focus on health too and develop a project for their congregation, they need to have a health care system that can work in partnership with them to help them reach their goals, so that these kinds of partnerships are just absolutely critical and they enhance the mission of both the faith and the health communities.
That's a good point for us to stop for a break. Come back with us after the break as we continue our discussion with Dr. Marilyn Gaston of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. This is the Business of Government Hour.